옴 나모 바가바티 바수디바야. 옴 나모 바가바티
Wir reden vom Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 26, Text Number 5.
Asurim vrittim ashritya, Goratma niranugraha, Nyahanam nishiter baner, Vanesu Vanagocharan.
Complete translation with purport as given by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. No need to fasten seat belts. It's not so long. Short purport.
At that time, King Puranjana was very much influenced by demoniac propensities. Because of this, his heart became very hard and merciless, and with sharp arrows, he killed many innocent animals in the forest, taking no consideration.
Here we have an exciting, very relevant purport by His Divine Grace.
When a man becomes too proud of his material position, he tries to enjoy his senses in an unrestricted way, being influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. He is thus described as asuric or demoniac. When people are demoniac in a spirit, they are not merciful toward the poor animals. Consequently, they maintain various animal slaughterhouses. This is technically called suna, or hinsa, which means the killing of living beings. In Kali Yuga, due to the increase of the mode of passion and ignorance, almost all men are asuric or demoniac. Therefore, they are very much fond of eating flesh, and for this end, they maintain various kinds of animal slaughterhouses.
A little more.
In this age of Kali, the propensity for mercy is almost nil. Consequently, there is always fighting and wars between men and nations. Men do not understand that because they unrestrictedly kill so many animals, they also must be slaughtered like animals in big wars.
This is very much evident in the Western countries. In the West, slaughterhouses are maintained without restrictions, and therefore, every fifth or tenth year, there is a big war in which countless people are slaughtered even more cruelly than the animals.
Sometimes during war, soldiers keep their enemies in concentration camps and kill them in very cruel ways. These are reactions brought about by unrestricted animal killing in the slaughterhouse and by hunters in the forest. Proud, demoniac persons do not know the laws of nature or the laws of God. Consequently, they unrestrictedly kill poor animals, not caring for them at all. In the Krishna consciousness movement, animal killing is completely prohibited. One is not accepted as a bona fide student in this movement unless he promises to follow the four regulative principles. No animal killing, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. This Krishna consciousness movement is the only means by which the sinful activities of man in this Kali Yuga can be counteracted.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Asurim vrittim ashritya goratma niranugraha nyahanam nishiter baner vaneshu vanagocharan.
Translation again. At the time, King Puranjana was very much influenced by demoniac propensities. Because of this, his heart became very hard and merciless, and with sharp arrows he killed many innocent animals in the forest, taking no consideration.
Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Palgum Langaide Girim Yat Kripadamaham Vande Sri Gurum Tinatarinam.
Hare Krishna. So we continue hearing here the description, an allegorical or analogical story of a king, Puranjana. We know this is spoken by Narad Muni to Prajiniparishad, who also happens to be a king, and so the king example is relevant for him. He can relate to it. And we have heard that he has left his wife and he has gone to the forest. And earlier it was explained that leaving his wife behind indicates that he left his intelligence behind. And now he is in that forest of also an allegorical idea or concept, and the material world where there are sense objects and senses and interactions like that, but without intelligence. So, and he's lowering himself by loss of intelligence or no intelligence to become very demoniac, or very much controlled by the lower modes of ignorance, passion, and he's driven. And then here it translates into he's killing animals with sharp arrows. He's causing havoc. He's unrestrained, unrestricted. Intelligence is a fine tool, basically the tool of discrimination. Viveka, the ability to discriminate, and it's a God-given guide from within, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam. I'm seated in everyone's heart. From me comes intelligence, knowledge and forgetfulness. So it's a God-given tool. We all can avail of it, but we can also ignore it. We can leave that intelligence behind and just act. The more we act in that without intelligence, the more selfish we are. And that's the other way. If you are more conscious or have intelligence discrimination, we become closer and closer to reality, how things really are, in the sense that we start to become more and more aware that we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Shiva Bhuta Sanatanam. Intelligence helps us to come closer to how things really are. And without intelligence, we get lost, like being getting lost in a big forest. Discrimination, intelligence, Srila Prabhupada, in some places, a few places he uses conscience. Conscience is a term which is more used in the Western concept of explaining things. Conscience as an inner voice or a guide of right and wrong. So
there's an assumption that everybody has conscience, which is definitely true, but you can block the conscience, or you can ignore conscience. Conscience can become numbed. You have a piece of, or a part of the body, no circulation of blood, then it becomes numb, huh? Without, has no more ability to function. So conscience can be like that. It's there, but has been misdirected. Also, conscience can be manipulated, or like the intelligence, how we say, the intelligence can be polluted. So we cannot equate conscience as the super soul, 100%, saying it's Krishna's voice. As people often believe God is telling me from within. That's a common notion, and the feeling I'm doing everything for God or God's plan. But conscience can be very much misled. So we may be told to do the wrong thing by the conscience. Srila Prabhupada gives example of a person who is trained to steal by his social environment, go out and take other people's property, and he gets a sense of accomplishment, a sense of belonging by doing this from the other people. He's belonging, part of the group, and that makes him feel good. By not going out, he feels bad. I haven't done my duty. I should have gone and helped them steal. Or sometimes we see people, I know in earlier times, I remember once an incident where a person almost came across the step, or is it the doorstep, into the temple. But then the conscience told him, no, don't go in here. It's dangerous. It's a sect. It's a cult. Get out. But inside was Krishna. Krishna is in the temple. Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra were basically waiting to have a little interaction, a sambandha, a connection with that tiny soul, but somehow he changes his mind based on his conscience or inner voice, which tells him, no, this is not good. They told me many times, be careful, these people, this and that. You are such and such, right? Like in Ireland or somewhere, or Europe, there was, you're Christians. You're a Christian, this cannot be done, this is wrong, this is, they worship some demon or something like that, don't go there. So conscience is very subjective. Intelligence can be very much misleading. But here in this example we see he's basically acting without any intelligence. You have the example of Megari the hunter also, who conscience told him that he's doing a good job. He felt that what his father has taught him, a skill or a profession, was to kill animals halfway, see how they suffer and die. And that was their tradition or their culture. And by doing that and like that, he was acting perfectly as a good son. He felt good about himself doing that. He wasn't feeling bad. Only when Narad Muni confronted him and in the had a change of perspective could he realize that it was wrong. So it's a subjective thing. And only when conscience or intelligence is guided by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, then it becomes a reliable. That's what we go through in a Bhakti Yoga process. We change our consciousness or conscience or intelligence, that it becomes a reliable tool, a compass, an instrument by which we can see what is right and wrong. So here, Srila Prabhupada explains how, in the purport he goes on explaining then how killing animals is wrong, which is not accepted by many. Many people think it's part of their culture, they're part of their religion. We don't kill the pig, but we kill the cow. There's a whole group of people who have that feeling. killing pig is not right, but killing the cow is right. So Srila Prabhupada says, no, this is completely wrong. Opening slaughterhouses, causing harm in different ways. And then, by doing that, one gets reactions. So then Srila Prabhupada explains how, because of this mistaken intelligence, this misguided intelligence, this demoniac propensity, there is war. War is very imminent right now, as you all may know, or some of you may know, that imminent in the sense it's going to happen the next few days, maybe a few weeks more, another war. Recently, what are some of the wars just going on? Srila Prabhupada says every 5-10 years, but that was 40 years ago. Now it has become down to 1 year, 2 year, 3 year. There is wars. So there is an ongoing war, of course, in Afghanistan. There was a war in Iraq. Then there was a war in Libya. Of course, we are a little removed from these places, in a, geographically speaking. It's a different location. But if you're nearby, or you're there, or your neighbor country, you can actually see people flee, come across the borders with bags and scared and shocked and refugees. Europe had recently, not too long ago, was war in the Balkans, Bosnia and Serbia, whole cities destroyed. And now most imminent, or almost ready, they're just moving, things are moving, like the Russians are pulling back now because they see it's too risky to be there when the NATO and the US attack Syria. So that was the latest logistic. Russia pulls away they have big army ships or aircraft carriers. Anyway, some huge machines, no, they put there just to make their presence, and now they pull away, and it's an indication that it's going to happen. They attack Syria. Syria is quite a big country with many people, and they're well equipped, so it's going to be a long fight, some heavy fighting with countless people suffering and being tortured. Srila Prabhupada says then they catch people, capture people, and put them into conditions even worse than what they do with the animals. Directly, you can see, witness yourself or in some documentaries how they keep chickens in chicken factories. Sisi Gornitai ki, Sri Krishna Balarama ki, Sisi Radhishyama ki, Jaha Lalita Vishaka ki, Jai. So we have seen all, basically we all know in the back mind, or rather clear, how animals are treated in such places for one lifetime, from birth until they die. Just cruelty, just suffering. And so that type of suffering comes back to humans, but sometimes even worse, or it's more experienced because a human is more sensitive, he experiences, his senses are stronger and his awareness is stronger, so it's tremendous, tremendous suffering that comes back. Could you imagine you're captured by an enemy and he's torturing you, and or even having not done so many bad things, he keep you in a prison under the ground with no light for 900 days, whatever, interrogate you again and again, and mental agony and all kinds of things, on and on and on. And it's happening on and on. For me, that was something quite clear. I think that's the first time I heard the connection was Tolstoy says, famous saying, as long there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields. It's something I could somehow quite easily relate to. I grew up in Switzerland with people killing animals, including my father. So I was kind of aware that there's something, some fishy, not quite right, because I could see the animals, how they react. And then after little observation, I could see this is wrong. And Srila Prabhupada says the Krishna conscious movement is that movement which exposes that as very clearly wrong. Now more and more people, of course, they recognize, not so much based on a spiritual perspective, but just on the damage they can observe, which is as a result of slaughterhouses and animal, how do you call it, animal farming? Animal, they have all kinds of words, call it cattles instead of cows. The language also starts to change, so the thing doesn't become so bad. It's not cows anymore, it's cattles. You keep cattles. So these activities result in wars. And there's no way to counter, as we heard this morning, Janardhan Prabhu read this purport by Srila Prabhupada, huh? There's no way of countering the or opposing the laws of nature. When the action is done, it's like somebody who has done a crime and the police catches the criminal and I say, please, but forgive me, sorry. Sorry, please don't. Maybe a little bit, no? But generally it's like, that's the law. You know, you're being judged now, and that's the punishment. That's the reaction. One would have to learn before what is right and wrong, and not do the action. And then the punishment ultimately is also, you could see as unjust or from no means, but actually it also is a means. It's meant to reform the living entity. When the living entity is put into his position, either as a tree or in a suffering condition, different ways, gradually his awareness becomes refined and he becomes inquisitive. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains like that in the Jiva Dharma, that suffering brings about discrimination. People start to wonder, why? What's happening? Why me? Like that. And they start to become a little more clear-minded. Now what people think generally is, you know, I'm a good person, we have a good government, of course the government may be doing something not that perfect, but it's for the good of us to keep peace, to keep everything. I trust the government, they are all good. Although it's the government represents people, the government represents people's desires, so they're all a whole package. So everything is linked to each other. They want certain things, like the West has a strong demand and expectation of an ongoing level of sense gratification, consumerism, huh? Consuming. And for that there is a constant supply needed, which they cannot, they don't have in their own place, so they have to go to foreign countries to secure the supply. All kinds of resources, oil, especially oil, no? And people think, we are so innocent, we just use our latest iPod or iPad or whatever, no, and send some messages, we are good people. But the iPad is made of rare minerals, which comes from somewhere, from Congo or somewhere, no? And in Congo there are some fights amongst people, because some people see the big business there and exploit others. And so indirectly or directly, the consumer causes the conflict there. Of course, in a higher sense, and there's always different levels to look at it, in a higher sense, one level is now this karma reaction, and that platform, everything is happening due to harming, not just using an iPad, but causing harm. But in itself, the sense why we are enjoyers in that mood, already that is sinful. That also brings reactions. And then doing harm. So in a higher or an ultimate sense, for say more on a Uttama, really seeing things as they are, from Krishna's viewpoint, everything is happening because of time. Material nature in itself is a place of suffering. When the living entity, the jiva, comes into contact with the modes of a material environment, he suffers birth, disease, old age, death. That in itself is suffering, slow or fast. So Queen Kunti, in her prayers, says, Manye tvam kalam ishanam anadi nidanam vibum samam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yanmita kali. My Lord, I consider your lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller, without beginning and end, the all-pervasive one. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissensions between living and living beings are due to social intercourse. Now, any social intercourse brings with it the ahankar, sense of I and my people, my. So then, as soon as such dis-centered, not Krishna-centered, Ishvasya-centered, but self-centered, and then there is dissensions. And in due course of time, people are not guided by a little intelligence. It builds up and builds up and then it explodes. As they say in English, the shit hits the fan or something like that. It just makes a big mess now. Or it blows up in front of the face. Or shooting your own food or all kinds of ideas. People basically know there is something building up and then, boing. It goes overboard. So then, and as a remedy, Srila Prabhupada says here, the Krishna conscious movement is the only means by which the sinful activities of man in this Kali Yuga can be counteracted. Even those people who realize based on health consideration or considering the collapse of ecosystem, and they see the connection to meat eating or animal slaughter or animal farming like that. If they see these connections, just by not taking part in it, by being a vegan, there's some improvement, but ultimately that's not the final solution. The problem is deeper, not on the surface, it goes skin deep, very deep. And in deep inside is the living entity who has that enjoying mode or the enjoying propensity. So his asurim, when this mood of enjoying becomes influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance, to bhuta sarva lokesmin. Krishna says there are two types of living entities, the asurim and the deva. And in the 16th chapter we see how Asuric is connected to the mode of passion and ignorance. Then they don't know what to be done. They don't know what is right and wrong. Intelligence is gone, lost. So just becoming less asuric or a little more in the mode of goodness, that's helpful. Sattvam sanjayate jnanam. From the mode of goodness, there is a chance. But ultimately, bhakti doesn't arise from there also. Even a person has that discrimination. Discrimination itself will not bring about the seed of devotion, the seed of a desire to completely turn over. There's a concept of how do you call it, a spill? Not a tipping point. You may have heard this idea of a tipping point. You have a tree or something like this, no? And you pull it over. At some point, there's a tipping point. And so it doesn't need any more force. It just falls over by its own weight. And then everything comes out. Like here is water. Even if you put it back, the damage is done. So the people realize now we are on a tipping point, or we have maybe crossed the tipping point in terms of global warming or ice cap melting and permanent irreversible climate changes. And once it's gone to a certain point, because now it's getting warmer and warmer, and then it becomes warmer, more gases come, the whole nature setting changes. Places where there is ice become green and create more warm air and more, and the more storms and like that. So they realize there is such a tipping point, and probably it's been crossed. But there is another tipping point, and that's more of concern for those who are little touched by mercy. Those who have somehow come in touch with sadhus realize the path of bhakti is the ultimate prayojan. That what ultimately has to be done. And our tipping point is that falling into maya. But there is a reversible tipping point. You fall into maya, there is a chance to come out. The tatashta shakti can go into the devim ashritam, or we can fall into the asurim ashritam, as here says, asurim ritim ashritam. So this tipping point situation, and we fall in this side. So from falling into maya, it's not the end. It can be undone. There's a reversing. It's reversible. But it happens in a mysterious way. It's not by discrimination. It's not just by sharp thinking. It needs the touch of a devotee. It needs the accumulation of sukriti, bhakti sukriti. And sometimes it's unknown, or it's even unnoticed by the other person. So when devotees engage the tipping people who are little inclined, let them do some service, then there is an inner growth. The conscience gets refined. They may buy a book, they may read it or not, but they have done some service. And it says it accumulates and accumulates, and finally the outcome is a person can actually approach a Vaishnav sadhu and inquire from him. He has developed so much intelligence or so much discrimination that he can understand, here are people of truth and I want truth. What I need is truth. So he's coming out of that self-deceptive mode where he pretends himself to him, where he tells himself or fools himself, everything is fine, I'm a good person, nothing, no problem, we all good, just accept everything. All kinds of funny ideas. So he comes out of that and he starts to think, I'm really a fool. I don't know anything. I'm in this world, I don't know where we come from. I know most people cannot tell me. I don't know what's the purpose of life. Many people just say something, just presumptuously, pretendingly, making big claims, but actually it's not there. So by sukriti, gradually a person comes to that, and then he can identify the sadhu, and he has the desire to actually associate. He can read Prabhupada's books, or he can come to a gathering of devotees, and he makes intelligent inquiries by which he takes up the process. The Bhakti Lata Beach, Srila Prabhupada, it could be kind of an allegorical way of seeing a beach, a bhakti seed, kind of something entered and grows. Huh? Srila Prabhupada says the Bhakti Lata stands for, he says that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, stands for the readiness or the acceptance of rules and regulations. Vaidi, that's the Bhakti Lata, beach. The person is willing to agree and says, okay, yes, let me do as you tell me. How many rounds? One round. Okay. What else? Come again. Hear Bhagavatam. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Bhakti Lata Beach has been put there. He's doing now. He starts to develop some faith, Shraddha. And when increased Shraddha, more and more such trust or inquisitiveness or desire, all is entailed in this Shraddha concept, huh? More he advances to Shuddha Shraddha, the ultimate pure faith. There's many semblances of Shraddha, Shraddha Bas, or Jnana Mishra Bhakti, or Karma Mishra Bhakti, all based in mixed Shraddha. But through association with pure devotees who speak the truth, who represent the Bhagavatam, everything goes all right, comes back to the original place, crosses back the tipping point. Damage has been done, but even the damage, even the karmic reaction at that point, are not taken into consideration. The prarabdha, aprarabdha karma, which a person affects, some suffering or mental disturbances, Shraddha transcends that. So you can have an extreme person, a person who is in extreme mode, like Vrittasura or Mirgari, it's a complete mode of passion, ignorance, no? But by association, in moments, can be brought. Because it's not required as such that first one has to be a good pakka, say Brahmana, or a person who is very sharp, clear-minded. Shraddha is something else. Just to trust the saintly person. Then one's conscience is attuned. It's originally there. It's mysterious. It's beyond the normal pattern of the laws of nature. Sadhu Sangha. Therefore, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kaya, Labha Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Haya. Right? It's the moment's association. Of course, when we distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, that's the best or the most practical means of providing people some Sadhu Sangha. Simple in the word, spoken words written. And often we see that has effect, and then the next step, people come and knock the door, and they meet practicing devotees who have Shraddha, who also have performed, have their samband, their understanding, but also their act. Yeah, they're in an abhideya mood, their goal is clear, the prayojan is clear, and then they become inspired. So yes, alright, everything matches. What I read, what the practice and the goal, I find it in deed, in action. Huh? And his journey back to Godhead is there. Hare Krishna. Anyone has a question? I'm just quick recap what I just mentioned here, or just then we come back to your question. Meanwhile, you can try to get the mic. The microphone is here. We are saying that the discrimination or intelligence is a very important navigation instrument, and Puranjana here has given it up, and so he acts irresponsibly. His conscience is dull, numbed, and then we made the point, or Prabhupada makes the point here of, I mean, people are in that mode. They do irresponsible actions like killing animals, and it comes back in forms of war. Heavy reactions, an ongoing thing, no? And which we can observe, and people wonder why nobody wants it. But it's not true. Actually, they don't want war, but they want things which causes the war ultimately. conflict of interest, dissensions. And then we made the point that how, so when once things go are in a mess, a tipping point has been passed, or it seems to get worse and worse, there is a return, change around, but it's not on the platform of just repairing things or preventing people from fighting in different ways by peace agreements, but it's a change of heart, a change of orientation, complete transformation. The Bhakti Lata beach has to enter into the heart. Then, therefore, Srila Prabhupada says Krishna conscious movement is the practical solution, only solution. Unless there is bhakti, things don't go better. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lecture. I have a question. Srila Prabhupada often said that you are not this body, you are a spiritual soul. What does it mean? For me, it's very abstractive. What kind of consciousness of a person who realized it, I am not this body, material body, I am a spiritual soul, and how to experience it?
Mm. Thank you. I like your question. Yeah, to actually perceive the Atman nature, Sat-Chit Ananda nature, it means it's the Bhava Prema platform. So it's, and if you earlier, we think I'm the Atma, huh? I'm the Atma, I don't like this, or I like Krishna. It's somewhere a stage of contaminated consciousness, a stage of false ego. So my understanding is, and I can show you some references to that, our Shraddha, the faith, is that we accept the statement of the scripture who tell us as a concept we are Atma. As a concept, as a hypothetical idea, I say, yes, it's probably true. I accept this. I'm an eternal, functional part in relationship to Krishna. My Sita Swarup is my real Swarup. That's what I am. So we cannot have the self-realization, I am soul, without having that idea of Sita. What's my perfectional stage? It's the same thing. And preliminary to that, it's just an understanding, an intellectual understanding, Shraddha. It's very important that we have that ID clear in our mind. See that also as an ultimate realization. And before that, we should be careful of that we think, and now I'm the Atma, and that is I do this for Krishna, or I'm a self-realized person, or something like that. We also have to be alert and have some our intelligence, the ability of intelligence to doubt, to question, to maybe another word will be doubt, question, or to not be overly sure of our motives and our things we do and say. That we keep that possibility, I'm probably wrong, I've been wrong before, I'm probably motivated in an impure way. If I'm motivated in the pure way, and I'm everything is fine, I should have ecstasy. Constant ecstasy in my chanting, in my devotional life. But the fact is, I don't have it. That means I'm doing something wrong. So my intelligence or my ability is there. I can correct myself and move myself forward. And not prematurely, presumptuously think I'm a devotee. So I can say, I'm a devotee. But so who are you? I'm a male. I'm a female. That's not true. The person who says, I'm a devotee. We have to say, I'm a, what is, Bhakta Prayas. Prayas, huh? It's trying to be a devotee. Or Vaishnav Prayas, they call it, yeah. Trying to be a devotee and trying to become realized. So, Atma realization. As a concept, Krishna, as a concept, it's reality, but I need a little time, I need a little more effort to actually realize it. Then I would think then we are in a safe way. We are in a boat that brings us from one place to another. So as long as we are in the boat, we kind of out of the water, but we there's still some distance to cover until we are in a safe ground. So we can say we're transcendentally situated in one sense, because now we are nicely protected by the process. But we are on a process that brings us to that realization. Is that kind of addressing your question? No? So, Shraddha means basically understanding, yes, I accept this Atma idea. It's inconceivable, even Krishna says, 230 in the Bhagavad Gita, no, it's achintya, or it's, what's this, amazing, the amazing soul, no? Some hear about it, they can't understand, even after hearing it, they still cannot understand it. Other question, Prabhu? Yes.
Yeah, Prabhuji, you were saying that faith is mysterious.
Faith?
Yeah.
That Shraddha, that type of faith, transcendental faith, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how is that transmitted from one devotee to another person?
Okay, another very nice question. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I must have said something right. I get two good, nice questions. Yes, that's an interesting point. How is faith installed in one? And according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Harinam Chintamani, there's some kind of interesting twist or thing to it. You may have the sadhu association, some initial good luck, good fortune. People sometimes enter into a Harinam or wherever, and they behave properly, so they are kind of, they're not offensive, no? And a little faith is entering. But real faith enters when the person is non-envious. Then the bhakti lata or the bhakti shakti, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses the concept of a shakti, an energy, the internal potencies, chit shakti, enters the heart. It's already there. The Vaishnav sadhu is willing to bestow mercy, but from the candidate is some requirement, and it's non-enviousness. Now, that implies something. You know, you can kind of, the idea of non-envious, being non-envious. Now we can open this idea, you know, and kind of develop it more, because we can question how to become non-envious, or what it means to be envious. In envy implies also insecurity. I can't stand when I see other people doing well. I become insecure. I measure myself against others' performances. That gives me some idea how I am. So I'm competitive. And envy, because I'm insecure. I can measure myself towards my own performance. In the past I couldn't, now I can. I couldn't speak such and such, or I couldn't play the mridanga, now I can. I'm getting better, make advancement. But all these are misleading ways of assuring oneself. Self-assurance comes from realizing the self, so security. So more we become aware of our real Atman nature, less envious. So it comes back somehow to that same idea that more Shraddha I have, even if it's based purely on it's not fully realized, it's Gyan, Sambandha Gyan, but it becomes very strong. More I can become detached. Vairagya and Gyan, they are related. And then more I'm kind of willing, ready to do bhakti, to give myself, because I don't have needs. As long as I have needs, imaginary, what about me? I need. Then bhakti doesn't really take place. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti ritkarna rasarayana kataha tachosana rasu apavarga vartmani. Then shraddha ratim bhaktir anukramishyati. That Shraddha, then attachment, then bhakti. So it's a progression. More and more Shraddha, and then like that. So, non-envious. That we can get more faith. Anyway, ultimately comes down to a simple performance, a practice, attentive attentiveness in our devotional activities, attentive darshan, especially attentive chanting, becoming aware. Krishna is there. Krishna is a reality. He's here. The name, the Bhagavatam, devotional service. Oh, that's the reality. I'm spirit soul. That's the reality. Now to become more and more aware of it, especially attentive chanting. Hare Krishna. The first Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Do I make sense, kind of? You have the mic, you can use it.
So, one more point, Prabhuji. Does it also mean acceptance? Faith means also acceptance.
Yeah, definitely. Accepting the goal, accepting the fact, I'm spirit soul, I'm servant of Krishna. It implies acceptance, yeah. Shraddha implies more than faith. Vishwas is faith, no? You can have Shraddha, you can have Shastriya Shraddha or Aprakrita Shraddha, but you can have faith into, and trust into something which is not true. Atatvika Shraddha. Things which are not as they are. You just imagine. And we have faith in that. And we accept the wrong thing. So Shastra is very important that we are clear. We base our convictions and our understanding on reality which are given in the Shastra. Therefore, scrutinizingly study Prabhupada's books. Scrutinize. Prabhupada says, scrutinizingly study. Deeply, deeply try to understand what's actually happening. Sankhya is helpful. Sankhya, there's whole sections on Sankhya. And we start to realize what's happening to us. What's happening to us, huh? It's a process, no? Where are we standing? Where are we moving? Like a sick person who is treated by an expert doctor. He can check his symptoms. Now it's getting better. Fever is going down. This medicine helps. This and like that, no? Prabhu?
Since you spoke of wars, so I want to ask about this. What is the 21st December this year? What is it they are calling the devastation, is it?
They call it Doomsday or something, or Apocalypse, or the...
Oh, you have any...
No, the date in itself, I don't think there is any significance, what particular date exactly. Karma is... Karmic and karmic reaction, they are flux. Anything, anytime. It's not people, because people also change, more people would be devotional inclined or things change. So I don't think there is a fixed date you can point. That's the date. Especially through the Sankirtan movement, things are delayed in different ways. But that things build up more and more, that's already that we can see. It's unemployment or weather patterns, and wars, everything is becoming more intense. More intense. More exciting. Ultimately, from a spiritual viewpoint, we don't really care much. And if the outcome of whatever happens is that people become more serious, take the Krishna consciousness movement more serious, well, let it be. Matra sparsas tu kauntya. Sitosna sukha dukada. Half prince. It's coming and going, that's there all the time. We die in any case. Every moment. Dying is an ongoing thing, huh? So, die through whatever. Is that right? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai Hari Hari Bol.